weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilde. I'm Alex Stroh from ESPN Wisconsin. The Green Bay Packers are 1-0 after a 27-13 win over the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field on Sunday afternoon. We get to do it again on Thursday as the Packers will host the Washington Commanders in the first game of week two. Both of those teams 1-0 entering Lambeau Field in a couple of days. Jason, quick turnaround right away. Here we are on a Tuesday morning rather than our typical Thursday, as we will recap the Packers win and preview another good one at Lambeau on Thursday. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear. What'd you make of the Packers defense on Sunday? They look like they could be one of the best in the league.
Good.
Might be an understatement, actually.
Well, again, I think it's important to be mindful of the overreactionary nature of the opener, good or bad, right? I'm sure Lions fans across the Lake Michigan pond are freaking out. Oh, my God, we don't have Ben Johnson anymore. Our offense sucks. I'm sure that they're having the opposite reaction as Packers fans, who are, 17-0, which I'm sure they don't expect 17-0, but this did nothing to quell any of your Super Bowl dreams, that's for sure. I mean, look, it was a dominant performance. The Lions said, we're not going to let Josh Jacobs beat us. So Jordan Love and 10 different pass catchers went out and beat him on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, they were great. I mean, Micah Parsons had, you know, the kind of impact you were hoping he would. Not quite as good as Khalil Mack was in the 2018 opener, but pretty darn good. And not only did he get that sack with about 4 minutes left, but he made other guys around him better, which is what we talked about last week, about the impact. Like I wrote today about Lucas Van Ness and how Micah Parsons has basically adopted him as kind of his pet project. And if anybody, the way I framed it was, if anybody could be disappointed about acquiring a guy of that stature, it's Lucas Van Ness, right? I mean, now he's not going to play as much, at least on the outside. And yet there's this kind of feeling that, you know, maybe he's better suited to rush from the interior. That's where he rushed for on the sack that he shared with Rashawn Gary. And again, that was caused in part because Micah Parsons created pressure. So lots of reasons to be excited. My only cautionary statement is it's only one game and it's really hard to win in the NFL on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and week ones are always weird, right? So you try not to put too much stock into week one, although that's the only sample size we have. But think back to 2021 when the Packers lost the opener 38-3 to the New Orleans Saints, and they ended up being the one seed in the NFC that year, right? So it doesn't tell you the full story. But there's plenty to be excited about, rightfully so. To your point on Micah Parsons, the impact he made in only playing 29 of the team's 65 defensive snaps. LVN was all over the place. I thought Edron Cooper had a great day. Colby Wooden had a career day for the Packers defense. Rashawn Gary, to your point, looked really good. Evan Williams with the interception. So there's so many things defensively to be excited about, and you're allowed to be excited about them, but that's not necessarily telling you what's to come the next 16 games. That's kind of where I land, but obviously very, very good signs from the Packers defense in the opener.
Well, and let's also be honest about the Lions offense, right?
Yeah.
They were starting a rookie at one guard. They started a first-time starter at the other guard, and their center used to be a guard.
Mm-hmm.
So was their interior of their offensive line star-spangled awesome? No, it wasn't. They clearly missed Ben Johnson, but look, their running game went nowhere. They allowed 46 rushing yards defensively. They shut down one of the best tandems in all of football at running back, right? Yeah. I mean, Jared Goff, you know, Tausch talks about it all the time. He's the kind of quarterback that if you get after him and you get him out of rhythm, he has trouble. He's not an improviser. He is a really, really good inside the system, and they disrupted the system. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, look, they weren't very good. The Lions weren't very good. Was that caused by the Packers' defense? Yes. Is it also possible that they're not very good? I mean, remember, they were number one in the league in scoring last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were number two in the league in total offense. They did not look like the kind of team that was that on Sunday.
No, they did not. And that's credit to the Packers, but also we will see what the Lions are, and the Packers get another big one with them come Thanksgiving. So I'm sure they're going to look a lot better than they did in week one come that late November matchup between these two teams. Let's go to the offense for a little bit because I have a couple things that stood out to me. Number one, I thought Jordan Love was really good, and it doesn't seem like everybody felt that way. I know you do as well. Obviously, there's a couple passes he would want back, but I feel like that's natural in a football game. He finished 16 of 22, 188 yards, two touchdowns. They didn't need him to be unbelievable. They needed him to control the tempo and minimize mistakes. And I felt like he did that, and on top of that, threw two touchdowns. I also thought he made some really good throws, including that first touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft. He put that ball on a string. But all in all, I thought, from what I wanted to see, which was, hey, I hope that non-throwing hand thumb doesn't affect him too much, and B, show me the poise that you always have here in the first game of your 30 years as a starter. I thought he checked both of those boxes. All in all, I thought Jordan Love had a really good day.
Yeah, I thought so too. I I'm sure folks are looking at the two throws that he makes back-to-back, the one that's intercepted and returned for a touchdown but then wiped out by the penalty. And then they're looking at the throw before that, which, you know, I don't know if I'll get a chance to ask Jordan this today, but what the hell were you doing there? Like, it was almost like a no-look. Like, he threw it over there, and he was looking over here. So I don't know what exactly that was. So that was odd. But other than that, like, look, yeah, they went 0 for 6 on third down after starting 4 for 4. But the 4 for 4 was really impressive, right? I mean, he makes four really good throws to four different guys. I mean, you mentioned the touchdown to Kraft. I thought, you know, there's the throw to Golden dragging across the middle. There's the throw to Reed. And then what was the other one? Oh, the first one to Wicks. Like, those were all really good, accurate throws. You know, the biggest thing to me, though, and this is one of the concerns, I would say, as they have the short week and Zach Tom and Aaron Banks are on the injury report. And that is, they protected him really well. He was not sacked. I don't even remember. He had that one run where his like feet slipped out from under him after he got a couple of yards.
He's got to learn how to slide properly. Like, break out a slip and slide. I know you don't let your kids use a slip and slide. You got to let the quarterback use one because
I don't think he was sliding. I think he... Like, I think his feet went out from under him. I don't think that was intentional. I think that was like you on the three-cone drill.
Sure, okay. I thought it was intentional, but yeah, you're probably right because it looked so unnatural.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he is not Lamar Jackson, but I think he's better than that. So my point is that he was never in harm's way, really, it felt like, right? Like, you know, they were just, they did not, I joked about this, but it's funny because it's true. The only time I noticed Aiden Hutchinson on Sunday was when he was drawing the personal foul penalty for the hit he put on Love during the interception return.
Yep.
I don't remember seeing him. I don't remember him being a factor at all, and that speaks to what Zach Tom was able to do against him.
There were a lot of things that Jim Nantz and Tony Romo wanted to say on the CBS broadcast, but that was a name I really didn't hear outside of that one play that got called back. That's obviously a credit to the Packers offensive line. A name and a stat that Jim Nantz did get out, though, on CBS was that Josh Jacobs broke the franchise record most games in a row with a touchdown. He's now got 9 games straight with a touchdown. And good day for him, obviously scoring the touchdown. Didn't need to be utilized a whole hell of a lot because it was such a dominant game from start to finish. But I think it's just a good reminder. That addition last year, he is just one of the most reliable running backs in the NFL. You just know what you're going to get with him. And he is such a crucial part of this offense. And I think Sunday against the Lions was just another good reminder of why Brian Gutekunst brought a guy like Josh Jacobs in, right?
Yeah, look, I understand that, what was he, six carries for 8 yards in the first half?
I believe so, yeah.
Something like that. That was not productive. But if you go back and look, and I'm not sitting here because every time I say stuff like this, Tausch then makes fun of me for watching film. There's no way he's taking the time to watch this. So, but you go back and look, I mean, their goal was to stop Josh Jacobs. Like, they had 8-9 guys in the box. They basically said, look, Jordan, go beat us. And Jordan did. But in the second half, he gets going a little bit, and he ends up with a fairly productive day still. Josh Jacobs does. You know, look, I was watching the Monday night game. Aaron Jones still has got some stuff left now. Let's not pretend that he's not any good. He had a 1,000-yard season last year, too. But Josh Jacobs is just different. And the one thing I will say, it sure looked to me like last year when, you know, I love to use that stat about how many of his yards were after contact. It did not look from the first game, at least, that he's going to get a reprieve on that. Looks to me like he's going to be running through contact a lot.
Yeah, I agree. But all in all, good day. I mean, it was just a really good day all around for this team. So hard to pick out any real negatives. You mentioned some of the injuries, though. Aaron Banks, who dealt with an injury throughout training camp, leaves that game. Zach Tom leaves towards the end of that game. What do we know there? Are these guys expected to go turn around on a quick week? I know we're only talking, it's 8:30 Central on Tuesday morning, so we don't know a ton, but what do you expect out of those two guys with a short week?
Yeah, I'm not encouraged. Look, if there's one thing I know about offensive linemen, they will do everything in their power to play,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I've spent enough time around those guys to know that. That said, you know, oblique injuries sound like something to me, because that's what it was diagnosed as, a hip, or it was announced as a hip injury during the game for Tom. Then it was an oblique injury. You know, he's not swinging a baseball bat. That's usually a problem for baseball players, but that sounds to me like a hard thing to like tape up or brace up and play with, right? As opposed, like, you'd almost rather have a knee, or you'd almost rather have, you know, a hand and have to put a club on if you're an offensive lineman. So, you know, I don't like his chances. The injury, you know, Aaron Banks has two. It's a groin and an ankle. So, I don't feel great about either one of them. I don't know how I would feel about them if they had till Sunday and had a full week of recovery. But with a game on Thursday, I'm not encouraged. But, again, we'll find out more later today when we talk in the locker room and talk to LaFleur.
Yeah, so naturally, you know, with the shorter week, you don't feel any better than you would for a Sunday. But so those two guys that would likely replace them then would be J-Mo, Jordan Morgan at left guard, I would assume, and then Darian Kennard, the new addition who they traded for with the Eagles at right tackle. Would that be right?
I think so. But again, one of the other things I would like to ask LaFleur today is, so Kennard goes in right away.
Right, I noticed that.
And it looked like he played fine.
Agreed.
And then later in the game, Anthony Belton's over there. Mm. Now, is that, hey, we're probably not going to have Zach Tom. We've got the game in hand. Let's put the rookie in for some snaps and not get Darian Kennard hurt?
Maybe. But I guess my thought was, and look, these
he
coaches.
Needs the work.
These coaches, right. And that's where my head went. But these coaches are a hell of a lot smarter than me, too, Jason. Whereas, I mean, do you plan for going seven deep in the opener? Right, we knew they felt really good about their top six with Jordan Morgan obviously being that guy. Did they just not really plan for that? I mean, I assume they always have a depth chart, and here's what we would do in these situations. But did they plan for two of their three best offensive linemen getting hurt in the opener? Like, my head was just, okay, maybe they're just trying things because this game's practically over already.
Right, and so, you know, what are they, because they went eight deep. Right?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Kennard, yeah. And they play Belton.
Math, so, not my specialty, as you know.
Yeah, that's very, that became, if that wasn't evident previously, it's evident now.
Yeah,
but I don't know what their plan is if Tom can't go. I would think it has to be Kennard.
I would think so too.
I was talking to him a couple weeks ago. He said he was mostly on the right side in Philly, either right guard or right tackle. So he's comfortable over there. You know, Anthony Belton, if he plays, I assume at halftime of the game against the Commanders, Matt LaFleur will be tracking him down on his way to the locker room with some sort of, you know, coaching point, because that happened in two of the three preseason games. But, yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see which way they go if they have to go.
Can they hold up against a pretty good defender or Commanders defense? I mean, obviously, you say you hope so, but, I mean, it's certainly not an ideal situation after you have such a good and clean week one. Your quarterback doesn't land on his back at all against the Lions, who also have a good defense. I guess I just don't know what to expect from the offensive line after a really good opening performance.
That sounds like a yes or no question that you can't answer yes or no to right there. can they hold up against a really good Commanders defense? And you, of all people, just said, I guess I don't know. Ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, what Jason, of course, is referring to is our the world-famous Yes or No with Jason Wilde segment, which you can hear about halfway through each edition of Green Bay Game Day. Will come up at 5:30 Thursday afternoon on ESPN Wisconsin at 620 WTMJ. If you want to hear Jason Wilde elude Yes or No questions, it's a very good segment. I'm very proud of my work on that segment. So, yeah, no, that might be one of them on Thursday, because that is if I have any concerns entering week two, because I really thought, Jason, I know this is where you're going to do your old trick. You're going to push the thumb on the scale the other way. I thought leaving week one, the Packers looked like one of, if not the best team in the NFL. I just thought they played the cleanest performance. They had a really impressive win. There's not a lot of things I look at and go, ooh, that went poorly, or that went bad, or I want to see that get improved come through. I just thought they played a really clean game. So that's the one concern I look at and I go, well, I guess we'll see how that goes for a full four quarters. But other than that, I really don't have any knocks on what the Packers did on Sunday.
Yeah, again, you know, as you pointed out so wisely at the beginning of Weekly Strophe here, you know, they started the 2021 season getting run out of the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium by the New Orleans Saints, and they went on to be the number one seed. You know, the Washington Commanders are 1-0 also, but they beat what appears to be a not very good Giants team with a not very good Russell Wilson at quarterback at this point. So, you know, again, we'll see what happens on Thursday night. But I'll say this, the Packers are in a really good spot to go 2-0 in these first two games. And when the schedule came out, I know we talked about it that night, like this is either a really good opportunity to put yourself in a really good early season position or a really challenging opportunity or situation where you could come out of this 0-2, have used up two of your only eight home games, and you're two games in arrears to really good teams that are competing for the NFC Championship. So a lot of football left to be played, but a 2-0 start against what they're facing here. You know, these games, they're 1 of 17. They're each 1 of 17. But they do have a little more value than, like, say, the Bengals the next week. It's in the division or it's in the conference. Like, if you beat the Commanders on Thursday night and it comes down to a head-to-head tiebreaker for, you know, the third seed versus the fourth seed or something like that, right? That makes a huge difference. So this is a big one. And, you know, would I have rather seen both these teams play Sunday to Sunday? Yeah, I would have, but that's not how the schedule came out.
It's not how it came out, but it's still two really fun games, and obviously the Packers taking advantage of the first opportunity. Now, instead of us saying, well, hopefully they're not 0-2, now we're saying hopefully they're 2-0 heading to Cleveland in week three with a little bit of a mini bye broken up in there. Well, yeah, I am. You're right. I'm the fan. You're not. Okay, let me ask you this. I got a couple things left for you, then we'll let you get out of here on a short week. First thing, Micah Parsons, as I mentioned earlier, he played 29 of the 65 defensive snaps, but after the game said, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go on Thursday, pretty much clearing up any of the rumors about a back injury or any, pulling him back from playing, you know, the complete game. What do we expect Thursday? Is it about 30 snaps again? You think that'll go up at all?
I would think it would go up a little bit, although had him out there more than they intended, right? They kept him out there for that final drive that ends in the redonkulous touchdown catch by Tesla, or however you say his name.
What a catch that was.
That was amazing. And they blew the call initially. I thought it was really interesting the way the kind of ebb and flow of that back injury was all week. Like he, you know, the stuff that, because that clearly came from his agents. Mm-hmm. He might have to take an anti-inflammatory shot. He didn't, right? He told us that after the game. He looked great. And I would think it would be in the same ballpark because, again, you know, I don't think they wanted him on the field. I think he was on the field for like 8 or 9 snaps on that last drive, and that was more than they wanted. So, look, but he had the impact you wanted him to, right, both on his own production and obviously how – I mean, he has the pressure on Evan Williams' interception. So it was – you know, he tilted the field in the Packers' favor. And that's why they went and got him.
Was he better than advertised in week one?
I mean, look, I have not watched him a lot during his 4 years with the Cowboys, like unless they were playing the Packers or I was watching highlights before they played the Packers in a game. You know, I'm not watching a lot of Cowboys games. He was better than I expected him to be. Yeah, for sure. For me. Now, I don't know. Somebody who's, you know, look, he had 4.5 sacks in 2 games against the Commanders last year. I did not watch those games when they occurred. So I don't know. But I know this, you know, Tausch was talking with Mike McCarthy after they were announced at halftime and Tausch didn't wave to the crowd.
Big reception for old T, though.
Yeah, it was. And that was, you know, and again, I would say this to his face. So I'm not talking behind his back on here. But like he was kind of irritated that I was criticizing his failure to wave. And the reason why was because other than Mike McCarthy, he got the biggest ovation of any of the 2010 people. Like he was like he's beloved, man. And maybe, you know, again, I don't want to play psychologist. Maybe that embarrasses him. I don't know. But like, you know, Kuhn is getting out there and he's whipping it up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're not the same person.
Even right? Brett Swain was firing up the crowd. Good to see him back, the Super Bowl champ. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, look, I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of hyperbole all of a sudden about Micah Parsons. Right. I mean, you know, I was doing our TV show up here with Bill Huber and he said, have you ever seen a pass rusher get to the quarterback faster than Micah Parsons? And I was like, Clay Matthews was pretty good.
Clay Matthews was pretty good.
With powers.
But
so, you know, a little prisoner of the moment, he may be. But you know, hold on. Maybe not.
I don't know if Clay was ever that fast, though. Clay was damn good. And I don't want to take anything away from how good Clay was, especially I think it was 2 years. He was just unbelievable. One of the best defenders in football. But, and yeah, maybe a little prisoner of the moment. Okay, last thing for you. Maybe two things, depending on how you answer this. What do you want to see? What did you see Sunday that you want to see more of Thursday against the Commanders? What do you need to maybe get answered more, or from your perspective, from your seat perched up there in the press box, what do you want to see more of against Washington?
Yeah, ivory tower, as Tausch puts it. I want to see them continue to spread the ball around. I do think that's the way to be successful. And if there's a guy that's getting open more consistently, getting the ball more, I think that's a good thing offensively. Defensively, I want to see more from Cooper and Quay Walker. Now, Quay Walker would not have practiced had they practiced yesterday. He's got a quadriceps injury. You know, I think that dynamic duo has a chance to be really, really good. I thought Cooper was great. Like, if they had not acquired Micah Parsons and he had not been the headline of the show, we would have been talking way more about how, God, Cooper was everywhere.
Yeah, he was.
Right? I just remember LaFleur using this phrase, or maybe it was Halfley. I guess I don't remember it as clearly as I thought. He just eats up the grass, meaning he gets places so fast that he just covers so much ground. And that's a great way to describe him. So I want to see more from him. You know, they got one takeaway for all the ball king stuff at the beginning of training camp. They didn't force a fumble. I know they want to do that. The other thing that I don't want to say leery of, but curious about, having two rookies as your returners initially, you know, Matthew Golden on punts, which then they replaced him with Jaden Reed, despite his foot issue, and then Savion Williams, who'd barely practiced all summer. That feels to me like a place where I would have a little bit of apprehension.
Yeah.
That could go haywire.
Yeah, the big thing I'm curious about for Thursday is how do they handle the mobile quarterback, right? Jared Goff, obviously not the most mobile of quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels
very
right up
different.
There. Yeah, so I'm curious to see how the Packers defense attacks
That'll be something we'll be asking the defense and Jeff Halfley about, because that is definitely a departure from what they faced.
Very good. We will talk to you on Green Bay Game Day beginning at you'll start with us at 5 o'clock, but the show will begin at 4 o'clock, ESPN Wisconsin 620 WTMJ on Thursday. We'll play yes or no at 5:30, and then we're going to give you a mini-bye. We'll get back to our normal schedule next Thursday, so I'll talk to you on this program in 9 days ahead of Packers-Browns next Thursday. Jason, channel3000.com. Sign up for the Jason Wilde Extra Points newsletter. Follow him on Twitter at Jason J. Wilde. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for your service, Strofe. All right, take care. Be good.
We'll talk to you on Thursday. Bye.